I'm Brian. I work at UnitedHealthcare.
So, Brian, why do you care?
I care because I don't want to leave anybody behind. I oversee one of the biggest resource centers in UnitedHealthcare.
I see people walked in my office every day, just like my parents. They have no idea about the healthcare. I feel like they are my uncles, aunties.
I treat these people like family. I'm Brian, and I'm committed to care.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right. Red Sox, John, you can answer this too.
Sure.
I think they're in the market. They can do two big things. I think that's what they're telling people. So could that be Marte? Could it be Bregman? Could it be Okamoto? Could it be Polanco? I do think they like Marte. That would be interesting. But to me, Bregman is probably the guy for them, right? Mm-hmm. He's the incumbent guy, although we can't assume anything here. We've seen two big stars leave
right.
their team already, and Bregman only been there a year.
Two of the four, I think, is a fair expectation. I certainly think at least one.
John Heyman, John Morosi, yesterday. Oh, yeah, two of those four. That's definitely in play.
Is it, though?
At least one.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure anymore.
They got to get one of these guys, right? They got to field the roster.
I mean, look, I think it's fair to hope for Bregman, but I do now think it's more hope than, like, a lock.
Yeah.
What did Brad Foe tell us yesterday?
51% now. He added 2% to him coming back.
He flipped his
numbers.
More
likely that he's back.
Last we talked to Brad Foe like a couple weeks ago, he's like 51% to 49% more likely he leaves. Now he's 51% to 49% more likely he stays. Either way, we're talking a coin flip at best.
Bradford did tell us to have that
he
ready.
He did tell us to expect a sad trombone.
Man.
And boy, oh boy, did we get that yesterday.
He was right.
So here's the thing. Last week, Keith, we were still so hopeful. I mean, yesterday, we were still hopeful.
Hopeful.
At least until about this point in the show yesterday.
Bushy-tailed.
Wide-eyed, bushy-tailed. Very, very hopeful.
Yeah.
We thought things could happen.
What happened?
Spoiler alert. They did not.
No, I don't even want to be around anymore.
That's kind of where we're at.
At the risk of hyperbole, James.
Yeah.
That was the single worst single move that could have happened. In my opinion.
Alonzo to the Orioles.
To me, or just Alonzo not signing with the Red Sox.
Okay, but Alonzo to the Mets, wouldn't you feel way differently about than Alonzo to the Orioles?
I just think Alonzo not to the Red Sox was such a crushing blow.
Bad enough, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but
him
going back to the Mets, you'd go, all right.
I guess that detail to it makes it worse.
Yeah.
But I just mean, of all the different players, because, Kyle Schwarber didn't think it was realistic. Tarek Skubal, as much as I want that, I don't think it's realistic. Some of the other names that are out there, even Bregman, this is where you and I disagree. I would rather have Alonzo than Bregman. And so if Bregman signed somewhere else, I wouldn't have been as soul-crushed as I was Pete Alonzo signing somewhere else.
Right. Right.
If that's what I'm saying.
If Bregman went to the Orioles, but they got Alonzo, you'd be happy.
I'd be oh, that's too bad they didn't get Bregman. I would have liked him back,
right.
too.
I still have
50 home runs coming in.
I still have Bregman at the top of my list, but I acknowledge that it doesn't feel exciting, and it feels very underwhelming, and at the end of the day, you've just run back your team from a year. I acknowledge all those things, but I value Bregman, and I want him back. And that's because he's a winning player, and because he's done it here, and he is a leader, and I still think there's defensive value to him that Alonzo doesn't bring.
No, he's not great.
So to me, I think all those things. But we go on the clock every Thursday at high noon. We might have to keep going on the clock every Thursday at high noon with specific Red Sox plans, and they keep effing it up.
They keep losing one of the guys in our plan. We'll have to adapt.
Okay. So who wants first ups here? I feel like you typically
I go
take
up first.
Ups.
Oh, so you want to go first then?
Well, I'm saying,
or you think it's good?
Why don't you give me first crack at it, if you will, Nick. I'd like to go on the clock here with my Red Sox plan. All right, here's what the Red Sox do now. In just 60 seconds, I thought about selling the team and burning it down and tanking. I thought about all these things, but I want to soldier forward. So I want the Red Sox to trade for Isak Paredes. He can play first or third, 253, 20 homers, 53 RBIs. Get excited for that. not only Isak, though, you can pair him with Eugenio Suarez. He's 35. Pete Alonso is too old, but he's 35. 228, 49, 118. Then you sell Yoshida. You get him out of here. You got to make John and Linda happy and save some cash. So my DH in his place, some amalgamation of your outfielders, which means you're keeping Jaron Duran. He's still a Red Sox. He's not going anywhere. Get excited. Your rotation, Crochet, Bayo, Gray, Oviedo, and Toley, same as last week. Infield, Paredes, Meyer, Story, Suarez. Outfield, Abreu, Rafaela, and Anthony. That should get you right around last place in the AL, but you save a crap ton of money, and I think it all goes according to plan for the Red Sox. That's my new plan. I got a great plan for the team. Finish in last, bring in Paredes and Suarez, do nothing.
Are the Suarez jerseys in stock by the time Christmas rolls around?
And people will really, really, really get on board with and like that.
Just want to say Isak.
Yeah, you want to say Isak Paredes several times. Yeah, that's all. The only reason why he was in there.
Okay, that's my plan. Yeah. I'm now bracing for that, by the way, which would be shameful.
Okay.
Let's hear Keith's new plan.
All right, in the words of Joshua Adams, stay positive and stay strong. Here's what I'm going to do. I have to pivot at this point. I'm calling up the Kansas City Royals, and I'm making a massive deal with the Royals, starting with Vinny Pasquantino.
Pasquatch!
The owner of two of the best nicknames in sports, the Pasquatch and the Italian Breakfast. You can even bring the Sasquatch that goes to the game, stick him up in the monster. He hit 32 home runs last year, drove in 113, and he plays first base. Lefty stick, that's fine. We'll deal with that later. But now I have the Pasquatch at first. That same deal, I'm getting Cole Reagans. Stealing from your plan from before, but I'm bringing in Cole Reagans.
Hell yeah.
And you're trading away one of Duran and Abreu, one of Toley and Early, and whatever else they want in the minor league system, and for good measure, Tristan Casas. Then the one big free agent signing, Bo Bichette. Bo Bichette, so you can do the Bubba Fett night, dressed up as Bubba Fett, Bo Bichette is. He's going to play second or third. Meyer's going to play second or third with the Pasquatch over at first. And now I have Reagans as my number two starter behind Crochet.
Okay. I like your plan better. I'm not going to lie. You have a better plan than me.
I don't know how realistic it is, but it's really one free agent signing because you don't have to pay Reagans or Pasquatch yet. So that might be more of something they'd be willing to do. Now, I don't know why the Royals would want to trade the Pasquatch. Well, it's not ideal.
His name's been out there.
The Italian Breakfast. His name has been out there.
We never talk about these plans, Keith. These are always very organic and they come up on the air. Yeah. No joke. When Ken popped in the last break, I reworked my whole plan. Ken's like, well, what about Suarez?
Suarez.
And I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. And then I'm like, no, maybe I do have a
new plan.
You know who was in my original plan?
Pasquatch?
Pasquatch.
Okay.
Pasquatch was in my original plan before I ripped it all to shreds in the last break. I turned around and I said, no, wait a minute. Actually, I want a sucky plan for this sucky team.
Listen,
but
they signed a guy who they thought was an actual panda years ago. So would they sign a guy that they think is a Sasquatch now?
It'd be
incredible.
Honestly.
There's nobody I'd want more.
I don't know how you win the whole fan base back over, but how do you win us?
I think I got a pretty good idea.
You win us two morons back over pretty quick with the Pasquatch.
It's Italian breakfast night. It's Italian nightmare night. It's the Pasquatch night. All three of those sell themselves.
So, but I did not have Reagans and Pasquatch in my day. My plan really was Bregman and Pasquatch, but...
No. I'm past Bregman at this point. I think it would just annoy me. it really would, because it's just like, oh, let's bring the guy back and celebrate that we made this big signing. It's like, no, you had him. You structured this deal this way, he goes somewhere else. I would rather have the new blood in Bo Bichette, who I know is not a power bat, but that's why you get the Pasquatch. I mean, Pasquatch and Bichette, that should be 50-plus home runs between the two, and now it's more of a legitimate middle of the lineup with, Roman Anthony. Anthony will probably lead off again because he seemed to do really well with that. But then you have those other guys right after. If you go Anthony, Bichette, Pasquatch... Nah, you kind of a brave story. You kind of get lost in it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be the 0-4 Red Sox lineup, no matter what happens this offseason, but you can kind of salvage it a little bit here. And Reagans, you brought him up a week ago, but Reagans kind of gives you that upside pitcher that you don't have to pay Dylan Cease money yet. And is somebody that you'd expect a better season than a Sonny Gray, even a Brian Bayo, honestly.
So. No, look, I like Reagans a lot, and I wonder if the pivot for the Red Sox is, what's that?
Well, the guy who's like, Jesus, Keith, why don't you ask for Bobby Witt?
Well,
next week.
I do like that your plan is just to become the Royals. I mean, yeah. I do like that.
Get as many Royals as you can.
Yeah. Carlos did have the Royals in the World Series last year.
I like the Royals.
Yeah, that's true. Keith loves the Royals.
Yeah.
I like the Unis. Were the Unis in there? Yeah. Were unis
yeah.
in there?
Yeah. The Bo Jackson ones, the light blues.
Yeah, those are nice.
I had Bobby Witt as my MVP.
Any powder blue jersey uniform made in any sport. I'm sorry, you were in on Witt, yeah?
I'll take Bobby Witt. No, I had him last year as my MVP. He did not win, but hit a lot of doubles.
They
also had
him in the dong pool.
Had him in the dong pool, too. I was way in on Bobby Witt.
He had a slap hitter team.
That's what we call over-leveraged on Bobby Witt Jr.
I think I might take Italian breakfast next year.
I like
Kidding
it.
Kidding me?
I like it.
That's nice.
So anyway, you can weigh in with your plans. Go on the clock. 617-779-7937. Nothing to be afraid of after you heard those plans. 30
seconds.
You
can probably top it, I would
30
imagine.
Seconds is what you get. Eugenio Suarez, 49 homers last year. I think our guy Gordo has been referring to him on Twitter. I think I'm attributing this properly.
Okay.
I think he's been referring to him as this year's Anthony Santander.
Anthony Santander, though, could smack some dingers.
Well, he could.
He could. Well, no, but I thought it wasn't just a one-year deal.
Santander was horrible last year, wasn't he?
No. But he had a great contract
year.
Oh,
I see what you're saying.
But I'm saying he went on a stretch where he hit 33, 28, 44.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he only managed six. But he didn't play a lot. He missed a lot of time.
Okay, but Suarez went 31, 31, 22, 30, 49. I mean, 49 is a big spike, but it's not he was out of nowhere power.
No, but Santander also signed at 30. He didn't sign at 35.
Good point.
I don't really want Suarez. I thought he was a good mid-season
acquisition. Trade deadline. That would be such a perfect.
But
Red
it's also
Sox
no
thing.
Surprise. So like the Mariners last year had a really good deadline, and they got Suarez and they got Naylor, and then they get to the end of the season and they immediately sign Naylor. They did not immediately sign Suarez.
No,
true. I think that kind of tells you something.
Good point. Yeah. They kind of knew what they were getting into there. So no, I mean that'd
the
be
ball
such
flies out of Arizona too. By the way, because in 106 games he played, hit 36 home runs. In 53 games he hit 13 with Seattle.
Yeah. We've gotten. I thought you were about to say this about Marte. You're
saying that
about
Suarez.
The ball flies out there.
We've gotten texts about this the last couple of days that don't buy into Marte's numbers. They're fake in Arizona, et cetera.
Is it like a story?
Maybe. I don't know if the splits are that bad. We can look them up. I don't know if the splits are that
bad.
Well,
he hit 189 with the Mariners in 53 games, so that's good.
No, he had a better bat. No, Marte had more road dongs than home dongs.
Well, road dongs.
Yeah.
All right, nice.
On the road dong, Jesse James, the badass Billy Gunn.
Sounds like somebody's ex-wife
yeah.
is what that sounds like.
No, Marte was actually better on the road last year.
Okay.
So it's not that.
All right, there you go. So anyway, those are our plans. Mine's tongue-in-cheek.
El Nino.
Mine's tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, El Nino, of course.
El Nino.
Because I am starting to brace for the worst when it comes to the Red Sox. What the hell was I just going to say? So the one pivot for the Red Sox that I still allow for.
Yeah.
And I'm not like betting on it, but one way to kind of save the offseason is you do go all in on a pitcher, one of these like pitching trades, because you still have a surplus of outfielders, you still have prospects, you have young pitchers that can move.
Yeah, you could. I mean, theoretically, if you make a big time move for a guy, you could talk yourself into having the best American League rotation.
Well, and this is the thing, and this crystallized when Justin in DC called in and yelled at us earlier, and he's like, Orioles and their offensive war.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, they have one pitcher. And so what's the pitching war? Like, what's the team? Like, what is Fangraphs projecting for the overall team? You're just giving me the offensive war. I get it. They can hit the crap out of the ball. Got it. But what about the pitching? And the Red Sox do have good pitching now. And if you added Reagans, if you added Freddy Peralta, who they're linked to, which I don't think they're going to get, but if you did something like that in addition to Bregman or Bichette, that's a way to salvage the offseason. But do I think any of that's likely? No. No, I do not.
Unlikely.
Meanwhile, yes. Update on Corey Seager. This is from Jeff Passan. The Rangers are listening. Okay. Or, I'm sorry, are in listening mode.
Oh, they're in listening mode?
On star shortstop Corey Seager, who Nick hates. We figured
Nick
this out the other
like
day.
Seager.
Yeah, no, Nick is completely out on him.
Despite him having a 6.2 war in 102 games.
Yeah, extrapolate 102 that.
Games.
Extrapolate that, though. That's I don't even know what that is. But it almost double
digits. In 2023, he finished second in the MVP, and he only played 119 games.
Nick's like, nah.
What the hell happened
there? He's a two-time World Series MVP, right? I don't have it in front of me. Isn't it two-time? Yeah, literally. I'm sorry. In the story I'm looking at, the two-time World Series MVP.
I don't have it in front of me.
Can't confirm.
It doesn't mean by any means.
Nickname?
The two-time. Oh, yeah?
Siegs.
Nice.
I don't know if that's worth writing.
You have to make the World Series to be World Series MVP.
That's true. But he's had some good years.
Yeah, that's a big step in winning World Series MVP. I'll give that to you.
You got
to
get there.
It doesn't mean by any means that he's going to be moved, but it reflects the Rangers' willingness to overhaul the team beyond their trade of Marcus Semien. To be abundantly clear, Texas isn't looking to shed the remaining 186 on his contract.
He has 15 World Series home runs.
He's awesome.
That's ridiculous.
The return would need to overwhelm the Rangers, but they're facing a payroll crunch, and with Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber, Seager's deal is now quite appealing. He's only 31, plays an excellent shortstop, blah, 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 blah,
but
blah,
Corey
blah,
Seager
blah, blah.
Makes no sense to the Red Sox based on what we have heard. So, like, they thought Pete Alonso's too old. He's the same age as Seager.
Yeah, but do you believe that? I don't believe the Alonso thing. I think that's, like, fake.
Okay, as long as you're ready to be proven how hypocritical you are, because just based off of that, they weren't going to go to 5 years for Alonso. There's 6 years left
already on
for Seager.
Deal. Correct.
And it's at more money than you were willing to offer Alonso. And you could say Seager's a better player, but I'm kind of with Nick on this one. Like, not if he's not playing. Like, he's a better player theoretically, but if he's playing 50 less games than Pete Alonso is, I'll take Pete Alonso.
Well, yeah, me too. But that one's gone now. So I just think any Red
what
Sox.
What about the Pasquatch?
Any Red Sox. I like the Pasquatch.
Pasquatch over Seager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Based on nickname alone.
Nickname alone, but also.
Yeah, but you're going to have to pay probably through the nose for either one, I think. I agree
with that. Pasquatch is team-friendly deal for, like, a few seasons.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think he's arbitration eligible yet.
He's, like, a free guy.
My whole idea was, I was like, give him Duran. They've been linked to Duran. I don't know why they'd take him. You already have to pay him, and they're trying to get out of Pasquatch's deal. But yeah, well, whatever. Oh, good point. Good point. He does that most places.
Yeah.
No, the Red Sox even being linked to Seager, though, does tell me something about Trevor Story. I brought this up the other day. I don't think Story's a lock to be at shortstop. And that doesn't mean they're getting Seager. But Marcelo Meyer might get more of a sniff at shortstop. And
he should. He's a shortstop.
Their best defensive alignment would be, and not to run this back with, like, the whole Rafael Devers thing all over again, but their best defensive alignment is Meyer at short, Story at second.
Yeah.
If Story played great at second years ago, I don't know if he'd ever go along with it. And by the way,
he might.
The fact that he opted in tells me maybe there's a wink and a nod agreement there somewhere.
Yeah.
But they might pull the rug out from under him like they did theoretically with Devers.
Because next year is the last year in his deal, meaning 27, right? Mm. So he has 2 years left when he opted in. So you have that. But I think at some point, Marcelo Meyer is going to play the position that you drafted him to play. Alex Cora has said time and time again, this guy is a shortstop, so he'll get there.
I'll tell you, though, the names are getting disappointing with the Red Sox.
You think?
I mentioned Suarez and Isak.
Yeah, Paredes. Yeah.
Who else were we just talking about? Oh, Corey Seager actually is not a depressing name.
No, that's a good name.
This one, though, and this would be like the Red Sox. Like, they should have got Suarez at the deadline, and then they turn around and sign him. Yandy Diaz is a player I like a lot, and I wanted them to trade for last year.
Yeah.
But again, the idea was, now you're spackling together first base in the middle of the year. You just passed on two guys, certainly one guy, who could have helped you there. So to me, that's more frustrating.
Also 3 years older than Pete Alonso.
Yeah. Diaz, you look.
Where do you stand on Jorge Polanco?
Jorge Polanco, I'm not crazy about at all.
They need a second baseman.
Yeah.
He hit 26 bombs last year.
Yeah, what did he hit before that, though? I was looking at him a 16? Few weeks ago. Yeah, isn't he mostly like a in-the-teens guy?
He's mostly in the teens guy, but in 2021, he ran into 33 of them.
Maybe that's not the way we should refer to players, but yeah.
That's Wander Franco, also a free agent.
Terrible. But his year
oh,
kind
I
of...
Oh, I like teens.
Do you love Polanco?
That's why I'm
Jones and Josh Giddey. Disgusting. 13th in the MVP in 2019.
But his year last year felt like a bit of an outlier.
Jorge Polanco?
Yeah. Or it had been a while since he had another season like that. Yeah, I'm not crazy about him at all.
No, me neither.
But there you go. These are now what we're reduced to talking about.
Eeks.
Big time eeks.
Yeah, eeks.
617-779-7937. You want John of Rhode Island's plan?
Yeah, obviously I do.
He wants to go on the clock. Nick, are we ready? Give me a thumbs up if we're ready for that. I didn't mean to throw that at you impromptu.
Yeah, have the clock ready. The clock's always ready.
All right, John of Rhode Island, go.
Hey, guys, love the show. What a year it's been. Okay, here's the plan for the 2026 Red Sox. They should link up with my ex-wife because they have the exact same issues. Terrible at spending money. They entertain random people. They have long-term commitment issues, and they both think I'm an idiot. Thank you.
I was just going to let the clock tick until we got to 30 seconds.
Didn't even need it. That was well done. Spider-Man meme. That guy's ex-wife in the Red Sox.
Hey, he's going for the ex-wife jokes, Keith.
John and Rhoda, I like it.
Yeah.
I do like,
he might actually have one.
The man's one note, but I like it.
That might be the difference.
What are you talking about? So he has commitment issues.
Red Sox do. No, he
Red
doesn't.
Red Sox have commitment issues.
He doesn't.
They don't want to spend money.
No.
I got the sense his ex-wife was maybe spending too much money.
Spending issues can be on either side.
That's a good point. Yeah. And that one was the last
one.
They entertain random people or whatever?
Lots of entertaining.
Some weird Zoom calls in John's
home. Definitely some weird Zooms.
And then, of course, they all think he's an idiot, which is fair. I mean, look.
Sadly so.
The Red Sox, the Red Sox, Fitzy had a good line about this yesterday. He's like, the Red Sox are a dumb organization. He's like, but you know who's dumber? All of us. We're all dumber for buying into this, which is fair. Like, the Red Sox think I'm an idiot, and it turns out they're kind of right. I fall for this every single year. So if the Red Sox think we're all idiots, at least with me.
Guilty.
And John, guilty as charged. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We have a madness for you at 1245 and on the way next. How do the Red Sox salvage this? We started talking about that. Let's get to...
I'm Brian. I work at United Healthcare.
So, Brian, why do you care?
I care because I don't want to leave anybody behind. I oversee one of the biggest resource centers in United Healthcare. I see people walked in my office every day, just like my parents. They have no idea about the healthcare. I feel like they are my uncles, aunties. I treat these people like family. I'm Brian, and I'm committed to care.
Boston sports matter no matter where you are.
We bring the take you'd hear walking through Fenway or catching a game at the Garden.
The Greg Hill Show keeps you connected to the city's teams wherever you're listening.
Follow and listen to the Greg Hill Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
More of a... Keith, what was your 60-second plan again?
The Italian breakfast, Vinny Pasquantino and Cole Reagans. You have to. It's a blockbuster deal, but you already have some good pitching prospects or young guys. You have an outfielder that you're trying to trade. You got Tristan Casas, who's a nice throw-in. You got a bunch of different things you can trade. So it'd be Reagans, the Pasquatch, and Bo Bichette.
Look, that's
and then
good.
You're cooking with gasoline.
Listening to Lou yesterday on WEI Afternoons, I wouldn't hold my breath on any of that, but I think it's a good plan.
Oh, I'm not holding my breath on anything related to the Red Sox at this point.
I don't even know
anything
if I should.
Positive related to the Red Sox.
I don't even know if I should hold my breath and or nose, which I'm prone to do
on
this plan, but I got Paredes and Suarez, and there's your offseason. Boom, your offseason is now done.
You devastating.
You run it back with Jaron Duran. He's still here. Somehow you save some money shipping Yoshida out. I guess that was the one bright spot of my plan.
Oh, yeah, you got somebody to take Yoshida.
Great. Theoretically.
He's going to rake in the World Baseball Classic, and we're going to wish he was back.
But that's not what I'm reduced to. That's not my new plan, because that's what the Red Sox deserve based on this approach. But listening to Lou, what they should do. All right, fine. We have a market on these guys. Pete Alonso, the reporting yesterday from Tim Healy, which was two-pronged.
This is... brutal, although not that surprising.
The Red Sox offer was for fewer years and significantly less money than he got from the Orioles.
Cool.
And then they're weary of Pete Alonso because of his age. He just turned 31.
Just turned 31. Happy birthday to Pete.
And yet they're in on Bregman and Marte and Suarez.
Older.
And they already traded for
Suarez
Sonny Gray.
Is way older.
They ran it back with Chapman.
Yeah.
But they're worried about Pete Alonso's age.
I can't imagine.
It's like, here's the thing. Fine. I'll meet you here, John Henry. I'll meet you in the middle. You have a limit on these free agents. You want to break the players' union going into a potential work stoppage. Like, fine, I'll even get on board with all of that. You can't trade for some of these players? Like, fine, don't go out and sign them. You got to go trade for them. And I don't think that's a Henry thing. I've heard others try to apply that to John Henry. Like, he cares about prospects, which I don't really think he cares about. He might care about, like, the... service time.
Well, right. How much is going to cost in the end?
The service time deficit, where if I'm trading, you know, prospects or young players who have 5 and 6 years of service time for a guy who I'm getting 1 or 2 years out of, maybe he cares about stuff like that. But then I do have to shift the attention to Breslow, where it's like, okay, John Henry doesn't want to spend. That blows. And it's unconscionable and it's horrible. But okay, that's what it is. Now you have a job to do within those parameters that are unfair and stupid and should never be the case, but now you got to work within the parameters. So you can sign Pete Alonso. You can give him $35 million, $32 million a year, whatever, to top the Orioles offer.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got to come up with how you're going to cut corners elsewhere or ship money out elsewhere. And if you can't do that, now you have a solution or need a solution to replace what Pete Alonso would have given you for production. Like, if that's what you're going to be, and every free agent offer is going to be 3 years with opt-outs, and you're never going to go to $150 million for 5 years guaranteed for anyone, then you need to be active on the trade market. And I'm sorry, I'm not talking about Sonny Gray and Oviedo. I'm talking about bigger fish than that.
But even with like Sonny Gray, for example, like, do you think that was the password trade, right? Was that Gray or Oviedo?
No. Oviedo was the password. Sonny Gray was Brandon Clark, forward out of Gonzaga.
Right. So even then, it was also what was important about that deal, the Sonny Gray deal, was making sure you only paid half the contract. And so maybe that also impacted the prospect you had to give up or whatever else. And you're saying, I just feel like they need to be players in free agency because it allows you to like really improve your team with like you've done a good job. And it's not just Breslow. It was Heimblum before this. And honestly, even a little bit of Dombrowski. But like getting young players, getting homegrown players, you've re-signed a bunch of those guys or extended a bunch of those guys. So you have a pretty good job there with your overall roster. But spend money where you don't have to give up prospects. And then that way, there's still the opportunity for like a really big trade. Because now it seems like you're going to swing and miss in free agency. So if you do add anybody, it's from, I don't want to say gutting your farm system. That's too strong. But now you're going too far the other way because you're striking out in free agency. So now it's like, oh, yeah, we had Toley and Early and all these guys. Well, now we got to trade like one of those. Or we had these outfields. Now we got to trade those guys. Or even like the password. I don't think he was going to be this good major leaguer. But it felt like he could have been in like a bigger deal than the one he ended up going in.
Yeah.
Right? Because it seems you're sitting out of free agency.
And again, not that we expected him to do this, but you could have signed Dylan Cease and kept the password, and now you have him for a future deal. I 100% get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I think there's an argument, not that John Henry would listen to it, but I think there's an argument that could be made where spending some money like this in free agency actually might save you long term. It might save you money long term where you're keeping prospects and they're developing and you get to them early you did with Rafaela and Bayou and Bayo and Anthony, and you get to them early and pay them, and now you've locked those guys in at lower level deals when you had leverage. And I think there's an argument that can be made to John Henry that spending on some of these guys and keeping your prospects now and building that way while supplementing it with a free agent could actually save him money long term. But I don't think he's going to listen to any of that.
No, he's not. And then it just feels like, let's say he said, just for the sake of argument, they're like, all right, you have $100 million in like new payroll for this season, and now Breslow, you can use that. Well, now he's too afraid to go to like $32 million for Alonso because in his plan now is all thrown off.
I think you're totally right about this. And yeah, I'm not.
So it's a combination. It's Breslow's fault and Henry's fault. It's both.
The biggest offender is Henry. He's the one who's in charge of the money. But okay, let's all wrap our heads around that. He's not going to spend money as an owner. It stinks. We hate it. Fine. Now Breslow has to work within those parameters. Last year, he did that well. You know, he brought in Bregman. Mm-hmm. He traded for Crochet. I gave him a lot of credit for it. Some thought too much. I think he had a great offseason last year. He's got to do it again this year.
Even the Bregman one, like going back to that, like he gets credit because he signed him. There's all those reports that he didn't even really want.
Fine.
Him. But my other thing is.
You're right to say that.
I don't want to say luck, but there was more total dollars offered by other teams. Pretty rare, I feel like, where the player doesn't take the most total dollars. Now, you structured it in a way where you paid him through the nose per year and you got him, but it's not like you did the thing the Orioles just did, which was pay more than anybody else for Pete Alonso. You structured it in a way like, hey, we'll pay more this season for you, but I don't know, maybe they were worried about the age, or maybe they were worried about something, but they still weren't ready to go to 5 years for him.
But they got him. If you can play that game with Bichette, or I don't even know who that would be anymore.
I think Bregman's kind of unique in that sense.
Me too. But let's say you play that game and you end up with Bichette. Like, that is now what he has to do. And he's not. I won't let him off the hook. As on board as I was with him as a GM last year, I think he had a good year last year. Bad deadline, but overall, great year in terms of the baseball moves and the talent he added. The team was a playoff team. A lot of people didn't think that would be the case after the Devers trade. A lot of people didn't think that would be the case before the year. They were all wrong. Us two were right. They were all wrong on that, and I think Breslow was a big factor in that. But now he's going to do it again, and I don't like the start whatsoever. Remember, a year ago at this time, they were trading for Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, literally 1 year ago today.
I don't get the sense anything like that is anywhere close.
We're going to be smiling
at
some point about the Red Sox. Maybe something else. Maybe something else makes you smile. You don't need to get into specifics, but maybe as it relates to the Red Sox.
If we're smiling, I'm going to tweet at Will.
Good, yeah.
If I'm smiling by the end of the week, I will try to coax him back onto Twitter is what I will do. We still have, what, I don't know.
We have another day.
Another 28-ish hours. Yeah. Ralph is in Cranston. Hello, Ralph.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hi.
You know, the funny thing is we're here in Breslow, who had a great offseason, like you said last year. He had a phenomenal offseason. And he didn't have a check. Here, spend what you want. Now you go to Henry. Now let's look at Henry. Henry came here. This team hadn't won in close to 100 years. He's won 4 championships, and he doesn't seem like a rah-rah sports fan. You might feel the same way if you were him. If you had us spending the money, going to the games, buying all this paraphernalia. I mean, what we're paying for our TVs. You know, I could almost say, well, I understand that more, but we should blame ourselves because he knows no matter what, we're going to go and we're going to spend money. Now, what we
Ralph, I don't necessarily agree with that. He knows people will. It's not necessarily Red Sox fans. We've seen other fans
dominate Fenway
take
Park.
Over the ballpark. So I don't fully agree with what you're saying. I think a lot of Red Sox fans have stopped spending their money and watching the team and going to games. Now, when the team is good like last year, they show back up. But we've seen other fans take over the ballpark. So his calculus is he knows people will come, not Red Sox fans.
Yeah, but let's look at the trade bait they have. This is why I don't think this is that tough of a job. I mean, you have guys that I would look to trade, Casas, Campbell, Bayo, Abreu, Duran, and the two pitchers he traded to bring in a 38, 36-year-old guy, whatever, you could have used them. There's deals you could have made, and you know, not getting Alonso just showed them that they really don't want to spend money to bring in that power guy in the middle. They need an A2, and they need a power hitter.
Well, I agree with all that. He says blame the fans, not owners. That sounds like blame for ownership, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But no, they have plenty of guys they could trade off the big league roster, never mind minor leaguers. I agree with them on that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, overall, like, the roster is missing a couple of key pieces, but it's not that they don't have depth in other areas or like interesting pieces for other teams. Yeah. Like, I feel like whatever the deal is, like if Tarek Skubal gets traded by the Tigers, and he'll probably go to the Dodgers, but let's just say if he gets traded, you'll be able to look at that trade and say, here's the equivalent on the Red Sox.
Right.
And it'd be
Arias Toley and something else.
Like 6 years ago, if you were like, hey, let's look at the Red Sox system and let's trade for prospects, no, you'd probably lose a lot of those to other teams that were trading their top guys. You might lose that, right? But all of a sudden, a whole bunch of like broken down the top 100 in baseball and all those lists.
Screw it. Sign Tucker. Trade two outfielders for pitching. There, I fixed it. You think that's happening?
I don't.
Will Kyle Tucker take – he's tied to a qualifying offer, right?
Will they sign somebody that makes more money than – Garrett Crochet total?
Nope.
I think he's at 170 for the whole contract.
No, the projected Bregman contract and all of these contracts are
a little
Bregman
higher. Bregman would be less.
Bregman should be less than
now,
that.
Now, Bo Bichette might be more.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not saying they get him. I want them to.
I always forget about him because it doesn't feel like they're really in on Bichette to me. But
probably right.
But he would get more than Crochet. Okay. So if they sign him, sure. Big if.
Yeah, it's not happening.
617-779-7937. That's how you jump in line here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get back to the Pats. At 1 o'clock, we talked to Sal Capaccio out of Buffalo. I thought he had some interesting stuff on Steph Diggs, which we'll circle back to later on. Plus, Thursday, 12:45, means it's time for the madness. Kiefer Med.
I'm Spencer, and I work at United Healthcare.
So, Spencer, why do you care?
I care because my daughter, Adeline, has special needs. I am motivated by Adeline, who inspires me every day. I am driven to help families like mine navigate the healthcare system. I'm so blessed to lead an amazing team at UnitedHealthcare focusing on the member experience and making that better. I'm Spencer, and I'm committed to care.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
The past few weeks, we've told you about the bear on the roof. We've told you about the bear with the chainsaw.
Jim, Liz, do you know how many eggs a chicken can lay?
I open boxes every day, and I would just die. I would scream and run away.
The suspect has been caught months after firing into his store with a gun and trying to burn it down with Molotov cocktails.
All right, here we go. It is time for the madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And Jones, we head down to Florida for this story.
Oh, good.
This is a unique one. I don't know if this is something that we've seen before. This isn't your classic alligator in the grocery store. This isn't somebody mad at big government. This is a little bit different.
Chimpanzee eating bath salts, ripping people's faces off, nothing like that.
Okay. I'm not even sure you could guess it. I don't even think you could. So let's just find out what's going on down there in Florida.
New at 5, a man tells deputies that he was teleported into a stolen car.
Teleported.
Teleported into a stolen car.
Like, dude.
I didn't steal this car. I was teleported.
All of a sudden, next thing I do.
Like, he's Nightcrawler from the X-Men. Just teleports into a car, pops up, gets arrested. I mean, we've seen this in movies, right? Like, body switch movies or things that happen and you're not in control of it.
Yeah.
So on a scale of, like, excuses, not terrible.
What's the show I'm trying to think of where he's teleporting around? 80s show.
80s show?
Oh, my God.
Back to the Future.
Quantum Leap. He's like teleporting.
I teleported into this car.
I wouldn't have chances.
All of a sudden, I'm glad you guys got me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Save me from myself. I didn't even know what I was doing. I can't even drive a stick.
So not a bad excuse.
Yeah.
New at 5, a man tells deputies that he was teleported into a stolen car.
But a trail of destruction tells a much clearer story.
Well, so maybe not teleported.
Circumstantial evidence.
Right.
Yeah, that's what that is.
I'll hear out the whole story if you don't mind.
Fox 35's Chancellor Wynn has the wild body camera video that has many people saying, only in Florida.
Yeah,
sweet.
Yep, we're saying we're saying that as well. Good start.
I'm intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
Deputies hear a lot of excuses when they ask people, so why'd you do it?
What's the best excuse you could come up with? Why'd you do it?
My dog made me do it. It's a pretty good one.
My dog ate my homework.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
What else? Satan told me the voices in my head.
Voices in my head.
Like that. Yeah, those are good ones.
I never would have thought of teleported. If you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, Terp has the video up.
Oh, boy.
That gentleman has seen better days, I would say.
It's a good description.
Well, he's honestly lucky he didn't die. Like that, he smashed that car that he teleported into pretty good. So, he's kind of fortunate.
Right. Deputies hear a lot of excuses when they ask people, so why'd you do it? But this is a new one.
I teleported or something.
Where'd you get the car from?
I don't know. It's Calvin. I don't know. I teleported.
Teleported.
You smoke crack, don't you?
Maybe.
Honestly,
maybe. His face is all smashed up.
He's looking like Cora at the winter meetings the other day, is what he's looking
what
like.
Was that?
I think he went a couple rounds with a bear.
I don't know what happened to Cora, honestly. I have no
idea.
Did
anybody ask?
No, of course not.
They left that out?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, you look great. Skip. Everything's fine.
I meant to ask Bradford about it yesterday, and I forgot. But anyway,
Bradford was 40 feet away from him at the breakfast, so I don't think he even knew his face was like
that. See his face.
No.
So, he looks a little roughed up, but that is, honestly, if you're, and I don't want to like paint with a broad brush, but you know, PCP, bath salts, whatever you've been taking.
Right.
To come up with teleportation on the spot.
Nice.
Pretty good.
I like it.
Honestly.
Yeah, kind of
something's firing around up there.
No doubt. Yeah.
You fire soon.
Come over here. Give me just one second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Put your hands up on my car.
That's 36-year-old Calvin Johnson with the...
36?
Calvin Johnson? Megatron?
You're right. I went to the wrong thing.
The hell?
Megatron.
That's Pro Football Hall of Famer Megatron.
That guy's not 36. Put that back up there.
So not Megatron.
That's an old 36.
It's not.
And
I
feel confident saying he's not actually Megatron and he's not 36.
I'm pretty bad at guessing people's ages. I'll be honest. That would not be a thing I could do like at a carnival. You know, like I can guess your weight. I can guess your age. I can't do either of those things.
No, no, no.
This guy I would have pegged for over 36. Slightly over 36.
Yeah.
It's like a hard 36.
That's
like an on-the-road 36.
That's the right way to describe it.
Yeah.
That's 36-year-old Calvin Johnson with the bloody face.
Oh, I was like, who are we talking about here? Oh, the guy.
That guy's not 36.
He looks like he lives in Whoville.
He looks like he's a Dr. Seuss character.
He looks a little bit like a Dr. Seuss character that would be super into decorating Christmas trees. That's what they did.
The Whoves are, like, super into Christmas. They're always out and about.
Really, they also have sneaky good inventions. Notice that?
Oh, in Whoville? So good. Oh, they're great at inventing it.
They know what they're doing. Yeah, he looks, that's him explaining what happened.
Yeah.
36 years young.
It's the look of an innocent man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would say.
That's 36-year-old Calvin Johnson with the bloody face. And you heard him right. He told the deputy he teleported into a stolen car and crashed it.
Signal 20 says.
Oh, my God.
He stole the car.
He sounds a little bit like Long Legs. He looks like a Who character. He sounds like Nicolas Cage in Long Legs.
It sounded like Who's underneath the reporter.
It did a little bit.
I can hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not a great scene.
This started at Bicentennial Park in Ormond Beach.
Okay.
A man walking his dog left the keys of his BMW convertible in the car.
It's like Grand Theft Auto. You see a BMW convertible, you're hopping in there. take it for a spin.
Honestly, a lot of evidence for inside job.
You think so?
You just left your keys in the car?
Yeah. Now, I know it's still stealing.
Yeah.
But it's not exactly like, you know, breaking in or anything.
No, the keys
a
are,
convertible with the keys in it?
The keys are basically begging you to do it.
Kind of are a little
bit. The keys
bit.
Are like, hey, come steal me.
I can see how you get teleported into a situation like that.
You're
just minding your own business. This guy's like, let me walk the dog, leave my BMW with the keys in it. Must be a nice neighborhood if you're willing to do that.
I mean, it just reeks of an inside job, but let's keep going.
Yeah. All right.
A man walking his dog left the keys of his BMW convertible in the car. And deputies say a thief jumped on the opportunity. A witness describes the strange interaction he had with the suspect.
All right, so now this guy
with
is
this
in
guy?
The BMW. This before the smash.
I don't think this gentleman would have any odd interaction.
So now he has a little bit of a strange interaction.
Who'd you see get into it?
It was a guy probably maybe 30 years old.
36.
He guessed 30
years
old.
He guessed 30? Yeah. You didn't see, well...
crazy.
Yeah, that's wild. He lives in Florida. He's probably seen some leather skin.
So many old people.
It wasn't his car?
No.
Oh, he kept asking for a light, and I was like, how in the world does he have a BMW if he doesn't have a light for a cigarette?
He spent all the money on the BMW.
Yeah.
Fresh out. You don't have a lighter, but you have a BMW convertible? I wouldn't put those two together. Maybe he ran out.
Well, even so.
Maybe
so
he's a matches guy.
So this guy. But this guy's like, why is he so surprised it's not his car? Then?
He's like, it's not?
Yeah, wait a minute.
I gave him a light.
I thought it was weird.
I'm not going to get in trouble, am I?
He bummed the light off me.
It's like, no, dude, you're fine. Thanks for talking to us.
A few minutes later, this happens.
130 miles an hour, and I swear to God. Watch his boat.
130 miles an hour smashed into something.
How high do you think the heat goes in a BMW? I know the convertible is that, but like,
you're going to ask how high is heat and not...
How high is the guy?
Heard at 130.
Oh, well,
yeah, 100...
Yeah,
probably 100
by 100.
Whatever yours is plus 10. Yeah.
The stolen BMW crashes at Old Dixie Highway and Plantation Oaks Boulevard.
People on the text line think this guy sounds like Adam Schefter.
The stolen BMW crashes.
This guy does sound like Schefter.
Wow.
Great
and
call.
Plantation Oaks Boulevard.
He kind of does.
Wow.
Certainly the sexiest position.
Man, yeah.
Plantation
actually,
Oaks Boulevard.
It does.
Fallback.
Mm-hmm. Wow, a lot of different people texted that, actually. Well,
there'll be an update on Josh Jacobs at the end of this story.
That is Schefter.
Yeah.
Good Samaritans stop to help.
Cut him out of his seat. So it's not his.
And then everyone learns the car is stolen.
So you saved me from the aliens.
Got the job done, Kevin.
Aliens.
In every which way.
Yeah, so he added on now top of the teleportation. So he teleported, but then when he crashed the car and then got pulled out, somebody had to pull him out of the car.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, good, thank you, you saved me from the aliens.
You kind of got to pick a lane there. Although,
combining too many things.
Although, yeah, now you're making it seem too far-fetched. I'd buy one.
Give
me one. I do understand your instinct to really, like, double down on the lie, but I think you just pick one.
No, you gotta
leave
pick
it
one.
Ambiguous.
Yeah,
you teleported? How do you know you teleported?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just showed up. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. All of a sudden, next thing I knew, I was there. Could have been aliens.
Could have been.
After the deputy puts out the lingering fire... The suspect is driven, not teleported, to the hospital and then to jail.
Cheap shot.
That is.
You didn't need to go there. leave the guy. Kick him while he's down.
Seriously.
You?
Chancellor Wynn, Fox 35 News.
That's Adam Schefter's alias. Chancellor Wynn.
Ace. Carnage in the streets.
Chancellor Wynn.
That does sound like Schefter.
It does sound like Schefter. Good call. We got multiple Adam Schefter texts on that. Good call.
Twitch chat. Oh, that's actually Clappy Cheeks. It says, holy F. It is Adam Schefter, but a much nerdier version.
Nerdier yeah. Schefter.
Yeah, nerdy
Schefter. Yeah, because the football was super cool. Not nerdy at all. He's not as cool.
No.
It's like his big brother. It's his big bro.
Fox 35 News.
Thanks.
Big shock. Schefter got the Calvin Johnson scoop.
Good point.
Good
he
call, text
that.
Line. Yeah,
he
good
would
call.
Absolutely be the first to have that.
I do think, and it feels like an inside job.
Maybe.
I'm trying to put all the pieces together.
Yeah.
But I think when you get caught in a lie, the instinct is to double down. He went from teleportation to aliens. I think just pick one.
Yeah.
And maybe you're a free man right now.
Could be. He is not up to, he's not a free man.
He was driven, not teleported.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only in Florida.
All right. Great. Thanks. Thanks for that. There you go. There's the madness.
They say that
today.
In Florida? I thought we said that about Florida. They say that in Florida?
I think they're trying to be in on the joke now. I think they're taking it.
Yeah.
Like ownership of it now.
They're like, we are
self-deprecating.
Florida.
We're aware.
Yeah. Okay.
They're not making fun of us anymore. We're in on it.
I didn't realize they were doing that.
All right.
That's the madness every Tuesday, most Thursdays here on Jones and Keith. You can dial us up 617-779-7937. Let's get back to Steph Diggs. Some interesting stuff from Sal Capaccio, WGR 550 up in Buffalo. Joined us earlier. Also, some Patriots players weighing in and the coach weighing in on being underdogs on Sunday against Buffalo. How does it all add up? We'll get to it next.
I'm Spencer, and I work at United Healthcare.
So, Spencer, why do you care?
I care because my daughter, Adeline, has special needs. I am motivated by Adeline, who inspires me every day. I am driven to help families like mine navigate the healthcare system. I'm so blessed to lead an amazing team at United Healthcare, focusing on the member experience and making that better. I'm Spencer, and I'm committed to care.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.